You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sissoko finally waited. Eriksen low. Great ball into the middle. What a save by Heaton. Tonight's Davinson Sanchez. Lucas Moura. And belted into the net. Brilliant goal. On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier! What a finish for 3-2 from Serge Aurier!
First time here to Son. Kane, good area for Spurs, and Kane's not afraid to shoot! Wow, what a goal, Harry Kane! That is exceptional! Lamella will try and place it. Wonderfully taken by Eric Lamella. Never afraid to take on a shot, and with good reason. Terry in the Burnley back line, and Son breaks forward. Oh, wow, what a run! Yunmin Son, from inside his own half, has scored one of the best goals of his Spurs career.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. New Spurs Order coming back to you again under the Touchline Fracker banner with some more content for you following the international break. I'll be your host, Owen, for now until Tobes comes back late again. And yeah, we'll go around to my co-host and our special guest today. Tops, how you doing, Sam? You good?
Yeah, good, pal. Always good, man. Happy to have the international break over. Incoming weekend of football. So yeah, man, all good, bro.
And yeah, how you doing? Optimistic as ever?
Yeah, no, I'm good. The start of the season. Yeah, get cracking the scene.
And I guess we got two special guests now because Tobes has joined us. Tobes, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How you lot doing? You right, Joe?
Yeah, I'm all right. Good to see you, Tobes.
What's up?
All right, I'm just saving it, saving the tension.
I mean, I'm sure we're all glad the international break is done. I didn't watch a single 90-minute game in the last week and a half or so. Like, I've just not cared in the slightest for international football, not one bit.
Did Guita never get that Spanish cap he deserved after the last game we played, or no?
Nah, that's his lot now. I think he's missed his window. But yeah, every now and then there's performances that I don't know. I find funny when amazing things happen to Palace and Palace players. It's normally funny because it's just absurd. And he is a good goalie, but that game, that performance was just nonsensical. By the end, there were a couple of good saves, and then that last tip. Every time he doing another one, it just got funnier and funnier and funnier.
A piss take considering the game you played at Selhurst afterwards as well.
Honestly. Yeah. Honestly, open their legs, spread them wide, and took some real scouse meat, didn't they?
I agreed to do a called the Cop TV, And it was meant to be like this sort of setup, like we'll talk before the game. And then there was a scheduling issue, and he was like, do you know what, why don't you come on the channel after the game, we'll have a chat a full time. And because I'm a man of my word, I did it. And it was so awkward because they had like a setup like yourselves, and they were all like scratching up the walls, desperate to like scream and shout about what just they just saw. And literally, like the moment they like stuck me in the like meeting room to say thanks, Joe, like you're a good sport, they just all just started going mad and like taking all shots at me. I was like, pre-game is always a preference now. I've made sure of that.
You love to see it, man.
I love how we've kind of just introduced yourself there, but yeah, we are joined by a special guest today in Joe Walker. He is of the International Clearance Podcast, and yeah, we're very honoured to have you on, man, even though we're probably going to have that result rubbed in their faces. No, thank you for joining us, man.
No, cheers for having me on. You guys, I need to tell you guys, you've had a ridiculous, since Palace got promoted, really, you've had a near flawless record against us. Other than we've had these two draws at Selhurst in the last two seasons, one of which was very jammy, especially, which we've touched on. Other than that, there was, I think you've won every single game at home, and except the FA Cup. We beat you in the FA Cup once, and that's
We lost one. There was, do you remember, it was Pardew, I think it was like his first game
back.
I remember that one. Yeah. Kane scored, and then Jason Punchin scored, and I can't remember who scored the winner for you lot as well. It was crazy.
I think there's a really bad Dwight Gayle penalty in that game.
Oh, God.
You know, Joe, I forget about that one all the time. But yeah, Pardew's first game, that's the only time we've got a win off you since we got out.
Mm.
8 years. So I'm not expecting miracles on the weekend, but I'm sure we'll get to that.
Yeah.
We certainly will. We certainly will. And I guess it's probably been quite a boring international week for you guys, especially in comparison to us. Where I want to try and condense this as much as possible because there's been a lot of controversy surrounding Spurs in this international break, partly Aston Villa as well, but mainly us. There's a massive story to it involving way more governing bodies than I knew even existed. But the gist of it is essentially Giovanni Lo Celso, Romero and Davinson Sanchez getting caught up in a similar scandal, but they were basically lying about having been in England. They tried to loophole it by going to Croatia, which is a green list country, first, and then going into Brazil. The Brazilian authorities got wind of this, but the confusing thing for me was why didn't they just kind of like get on top of this as they entered Brazil? Well, they chose not to. They kind of got alerted of it, apparently, while they were still in there. Tried to get to the players before they went onto the pitch. Apparently ran into traffic. So there's me thinking it was a petty move because Argentina just won the Copa America. Apparently they were stuck in traffic. Then, obviously, once arriving to the stadium, they apprehended the players in breach of these COVID rules and essentially got the game postponed, thus making the release of these international players, as controversial as it was in the first place, utterly pointless because the players essentially got caught in between this tug of war between the national team and the national authorities, I guess, for lack of more knowledge on it. And with them not really allowed to go in the first place, ended up choosing to go. Not blaming them, but they got called up. It is what it is, and it ended up being pointless. So now they have to isolate back here. Well, they have to honestly stay in Croatia and miss their next two games anyway. That's as much as I guess I can congest it to. I don't think Palace have had anything along the lines of that controversy. Correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, that's three players out of next two games, especially a big miss being Davinson Sanchez, who was unlucky to miss out of a Player of the Month nomination. But there we go. Adding to that, we ended up having injuries to Sessegnon. I'm watching you, Yao, just in case you add to that. Minor injuries.
Minor, man.
Sessegnon, Bergwijn, who had started the last three.
Minor again.
and Oliver Skip. And Heung-min Son. So okay,
Son's a major. Skip is a. In normal cases, if we had an ideal squad, Skip getting injured wouldn't be the end of the world at all. But the fact that he started 3 games for us straight, and Lo Celso is not available and poor, Dele is poor at the moment anyway, and Harry Winks is playing like a sack of crap as per. that's put us in a pretty horrible spot, to be honest, if he doesn't play, because I don't.
It's
really
ironically
know
hit us in all the positions we probably look to strengthen or add to in the transfer window as well. So is that indictment on how unproductive we may have been in the transfer window, or have we just been super Spursy unlucky?
Both. I don't know what these guys think, but both.
Yeah.
Both.
Same. Like, I can't believe I'm not really sure what to make of it myself.
I think you're happy about this, though, because your boy is going to start.
Partly. We'll get into it. It's looking sharp in training.
If
Nuno Nolds going to get dunked on by Conor Gallagher as well.
Yeah, if Nuno knows what's good for him, yeah, he keeps Winks on the bench, or at least tells him to stay at home and play his PlayStation. And plays with nobody. Yeah, because, like, I ain't got time to be scared in that stinking you on the pitch. As for Ryan Suspect, yeah. I don't really care, bro. Like, just
Ryan Stuss, honestly.
I actually don't care no more. Every time I he's like, you know when FIFA introduced injuries for the first time in career mode, and your player's just running, and then all of a sudden they're taking off and they've got a broken leg, they're out for like 10 seasons. That's what Ryan Suspect is like. I can't take this kid serious, bro. I'm done. Shoot him off. There's no ties to this youth no more. I'm done. Hey, Joe, do you want him? Because we'll give it to you for free if you want.
That's our weak area at the moment. But does that make it unweak if he comes? I don't know.
All I can tell you is he's not going to play in it.
Listen,
Joe's team had like a 50-year-old Kouate playing CDM in a 4-3-3 after he was playing centre-back for the past 2-3 seasons. I think they're in any position to talk about whether a Spurs fringe player can make someone weak or not. That's what I'm saying.
So we've decided to give him Ben Davis then. All right, that's fair. Who is Palace's left-back? Is it Mitchell?
It's just Mitchell now, so we let Van Aanholt go in the view that just let Mitchell have that spot now. But we haven't got any cover who are fit anyway. And Mitchell in a Hodgson team, very good, very defensive. Mitchell in a Vieira team has probably been the worst. Bottom two or three players out of the regulars so far. So I don't know if that means we're going to probably try and get someone else just to shore it up or what. But he's a good player. But the way we play now, it's a different challenge.
You don't like Vieira.
Oh no, I'm happy with it. Having seen the last 2-3 years and seen the players slow down, the attacks get slower. I mean, a great example is Townsend, right? You remember what it was like when Townsend was at Spurs. He was whatever he was in terms of limited ability, or whatever for your level. He was still quite explosive and could really burst and get past players.
Shot that was his take.
He could do it to a decent enough level.
Yeah, but by the time he was at the end of his time at Palace, which is why everyone's really surprised at how he's getting on at Everton, is that his Achilles had popped and he'd slowed down very significantly by his own admission, and we'd be on these Hodgson boys, you know, defend for your lives and then really explosive counters, and he would slow down the counter and he would like turn back around to get past the player, and it would just. By the end, he was just stopping. He was actually the least. He was disrupting the whole plan, and I felt sorry for him. But he would be. I don't know what he'd be like in the Vieira team. He'd be confident on the ball, but I'm happy with how it's going. We haven't won yet, but we're playing. You can see the difference straight away. So we're trying to win the ball really high up the pitch, and we've got ball playing centre backs now instead of people who are afraid to kind of control it with their feet, and. The midfield is the issue. There's a big gap between the midfield and the forwards because well, Benteke's not, I like him, but he's not mobile anymore, really. You've got to put it on his head and he'll put it in, but anything else, he's not interested. And then Conor Gallagher's help, but yeah, as you say, Toads, you've got Kiara, you've got Milivojevic to come in maybe as that like hard man option. MacArthur is good, he's not what he was. There's like a, we win the ball back and just give it away again straight away, and that's where Palace are, that's the big problem. So if you win the midfield battle on Saturday, you win again, basically.
Well, how are we going to win it with Ali?
Easily done. With Weak Wings.
Yeah. We're about to possibly play Ali and Weeks. Like, I promise you, we're about to give you a good game.
And you know what's mad as well, yeah? Both, yeah, I would disagree, but both players on paper should be able to go to Palace and express themselves and show what they're capable of doing. It's the truth.
Are you using this on paper stuff?
No, but that's what I'm saying, on paper. But like, I said it like on our chat the other day, like it's actually, I'm seeing these guys' names on the team sheet and I'm getting angry. Like, they're making me hate them. That's how much they stink when they touch paper.
McCarthy.
Huh?
Is Winks better than McCarthy?
Which one, McCarthy? Which one? The McCarthy?
Arthur, sorry. The Crystal Palace midfielder. I keep forgetting his name.
He's better than both. He's better than both.
I think MacArthur, prime MacArthur, was one of the most underrated midfielders in the Premier League. Now it's a different conversation. But yeah, I don't watch Winks.
I don't think Winks is better than Mitchell, and he's a left back.
Stop it. Stop it.
He's going to be in the room.
What about the thing is, go on, Owen.
No, I was only going to say, like, despite what Joel might say about, like, Palace's potential deficiencies in their midfield, etc., like, you can only respect what they've done in the summer because, for intents and purposes, this is kind of this kind of summer that all Spurs fans wanted. Getting rid of all the kind of older players, the deadwood, and kind of bringing in some fresh, young, hungry talent while improving the positions as well, which does remain to be seen. But you've got the kind of new Palace order. So I was going to kind of get from Joe or potentially what you may have been about to say, Tobes, is kind of what are kind of the most exciting new Palace threats which we could expect on the weekend?
Surprisingly, it feels weird to say, you talk about threats, to say this person first. Joachim Andersen, the centre-back, his passing is really scarily good. Like, it's like, I'm like a Victorian guy that's seen an iPod. Like, I've never seen this kind of stuff done before for my club. Do you know what I mean? I'm looking into the future. But he a couple of games now, he's just completely confident on the ball and just lost the ball out to the wingers who are in all the space. He's putting through balls through. He's doing 1-2s in the midfield and overlapping. That's a completely different prospect for us, which might help if we're trying to overcrowd the midfield a bit. That might be interesting to see if the centre backs get a bit more involved. The other one that is new to Palace as well as Spurs this weekend is going to be Edouard. So I think initially he's signed to be instead of Benteke or an option alternative that they rotate. But we're short at the moment on wide players because Eze is injured, Elise is injured, who we've signed. There's someone else I'm not thinking of. And they're kind of square pegs out there anyway, but that's probably where they would play if they were fit. But it looks like we may well start Edouard wide of the front three with Benteke in the middle and Zaha on the other side. Obviously, that's not the most effective use of him, but it's probably a way more of a nuisance there than Jordan Ayew, for example.
Yeah, I think. What about Rudewald? Where is he?
Vieira doesn't seem to. He played him against in the first game. Our first game of the season was at Chelsea. We had actually a worse 11 out than the Hodgson era because we had a lot of signings weren't fit yet. And obviously a lot of players have gone. And he started as the DM and just got completely like overran. And I think I don't think Leo seems to rate him. So I like, he's tidy on the ball, but he gets bullied. He's like the worst kind of Ajax player, if you like. So yeah. I don't think you're expecting to see him play. Not now that Gallagher's in, who's a lot busier, a ball carrier. He's a pest.
And I think, like it.
Yeah. He's already, whatever money they wanted for him, I know they're going to just, they do that Chelsea thing where they'll give him like a 100 bags a week extension in the summer and then put like, oh, you can have him for 40 million and then that will fund who you want to buy. We're not falling for that again. But yeah. he looks good. In answer to the comments, by the way, Eze's out till Christmas, I think.
Whoa, what happened to him?
He dies Achilles. We had two players do our Achilles in the same week.
One,
Ferguson, who we bought from West Brom, and he's never played yet because he's always been injured. And then, Eze. Anything before Christmas is a bonus because that's what we were told.
Ain't he meant to be back soon, Ferguson?
Yeah, a little bit sooner. But again, I have no idea what version of that player turns up because that's him. We signed him injured, and then he was injured for a year, and then he was coming back, and then he got injured in the spring, and now he's. But I know this is a bit of a digression, but I don't think people know about this story. We wanted Ferguson, he was in the last year of his contract and it got to the January window and we said to West Brom, we'll buy him now instead of, you know, going to a tribunal in the summer. And he was injured and West Brom played him in a game injured. And because he played for that injury, he hasn't played in a year, 18 months. And like, they tried to sell us to him for 10. They tried and went, okay, yeah, 10 million. And he failed the medical, obviously, so we just abandoned it. But he's, because they wanted to get a bit of money for him, they basically put him out for like a year, 18 months. It's fucked.
That's naughty.
Yeah.
You got to do some peas, back.
That's terrible.
Very.
You got to run peas, back.
Yeah.
So Owen, actually, I know to move away from Palace. I'm sure we'll talk on Palace earlier. Later on, but I wanted to move it back on Spurs. So, like that Lo Celso, Sanchez, Romero, obviously they were ill advised by the FA, the Argentinian FA, but ultimately, I swear Spurs basically said, like, you can't go. Didn't Spurs say to them that they couldn't go?
Yeah,
that's what I'm not sure about.
Why else would they be fined if Spurs allowed them to go?
No, so basically, funny enough, I was actually listening to Ali Gold yesterday. Shout out to Ali Gold. He's currently got beef with Jack. But obviously, that's the new Spurs order. We're not going to let that fly over freely. So, Ali, be careful, innit?
I got beef with him a little bit as well, to be honest.
So, he was saying basically that Spurs said, we understand the situation. We understand why you would go. But if you do go, it's not with our blessing. And if you come, when you come back, we will have to find you and the players will fine with that because they understood what the parameters.
Sounds like a wife and a guy that wants to go on the night out.
Yeah. It's kind of like a whole mess up.
So, if you come back, you're in the doghouse.
Yeah. Because you should have gone out in the first place. So, but the Argentinian FA are possibly one of the worst FAs of the big international teams of football. They're bad. Like, as I was saying in the group, I could imagine if one of these players, even if both of them said, oh, we can't come because of all the COVID and all that kind of stuff, that's career suicide. That's international career suicide. You're not coming back from that.
Brazil, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you're not coming back from that. They will never pick you again. Like, they're that bad. And why would you want to do that? Like, you'd rather hold the fine than not play for your, especially from South America, they would rather just hold the fine than not play for them.
Yeah,
it's nothing to them. So I'm not really upset with the players, to be honest, you going. I'm really upset with FIFA. FIFA's messed this all up because why have you allowed this to happen?
Like, honestly, come on.
Like, it's like, just
put a rule out that everyone follows. I didn't really understand. Like, when I saw it, I was so confused. I'm like, but wait a minute. Like, why is one person saying one thing? Like, the rules are the rules. It's like you get a red card in the game, you get sent off. Done. You get what I'm saying? You field, I don't know, like 12, you field an ineligible player in your squad, you get penalized. Like, it's rules are rules. Just make a rule and enforce it. I don't really get what's so difficult here.
I don't blame, but yo, let me tell you this now, straight up, yeah. Because Owen said that at the beginning. And I didn't want to say nothing at the beginning, but Owen said like he doesn't feel like, you know, the Brazilian FA really the health secretaries didn't really try to like mess up the thing. They were being genuine, they were stuck in traffic. No, Owen. Yeah.
No.
They done them dirty. Look, I'm a fan of Brazil, innit? But I know
when I was suggesting that there was a dirty trick of play.
They done them dirty. They said, wait for them to go on the
3 days.
When they touch the pitch and they hit 6 minutes, that's when we'll go out. Yeah. Chasing them around the pitch, bruv. That is naughty. That is something that would happen in African nations between Ghana and Nigeria. I promise you, that is something that will happen. They'll be like, ah, we wait now. When he touches the ball, that's where we'll go. And, yeah. You know, we'll cut the game. We win.
They definitely planned that shit. They definitely planned that shit.
I tweeted it off the Twitter account. Like it was something at hand. Like they just had to be.
It was naughty. Very
reading that, like, oh, they were stuck in traffic. I said allegedly, apparently stuck in traffic. Like,
it was alleged.
They're really cheap. And truly, there was always something cheeky. Mm.
So yeah, that the situation is odd, but you know, it is what it is. Like, they're not going to be available this weekend, so we have to pretty much look at what the squad's going to be like without them. And
so Sanchez is confirmed. He's not going to be.
Sanchez won't play. Yeah, none of them will play.
It's definitely
not. Oh, Jesus, it's Dyer and Tanganga.
So I'm just thinking, like, I don't really know much about Gay, but when you deep it, the centre-backs that we'll have available for this weekend, Anderson might be better than all of them. Anderson's better than Dyer.
When Joe was talking about Anderson earlier.
Yeah, bro, that's what I'm saying. Anderson's better than Dyer. Anderson's better than Rodon. Tanganga... Yeah, Anderson. I'd probably say Anderson is a more accomplished centre back. Do you get what I'm saying? So I'm just thinking in my head, who is Spurs gonna like? What centre back pairing are we actually gonna conjure up this weekend? Is it gonna be a back three? Is it gonna or back five? Sorry, is it gonna be a back four? Nah, I don't know.
Nah, he's got to go with Tanganga.
I don't even like that. Tanganga and Dale. Impossible.
Away.
So you're playing Emerson Royale then, tops.
No, I don't think he's going to play him somewhere else either. I think he's going to
play... Because if Tanganga plays centre-back, there's two other options that can play right-back.
Yeah, he's playing the variant. He's definitely playing the variant, mate.
Nah.
I don't think he is.
He's not playing the variant.
I think he trusts him more than... Obviously, he's just bought...
Low-key don't trust him.
He's just bought Emerson Royale, but I feel like Emerson Royale, he's probably going to... He's going to bet him in the game against Ren. In the Europa Conference League in the week, I'd say.
Yeah, I think Tanganga will play right back. I think he'll go with Rodon at centre back.
Is Rodon even fit?
I've not seen Rodon this season. He hasn't played a minute.
He joined up with the World squad.
He hasn't played a minute this season for us. I mean,
bro, we're in a weird situation. I can somehow see Ben Davies sneaking his way into this team, and it's pissing me off.
Hey, Joe,
I can smell him entering this team, and it's pissing me off.
Hey, Joe, don't come.
All I'm saying, look, I'm a pessimist, and all this sounds like to me is Spurs get a brave Spurs like snatch a 1-0 like. Whenever we play a bigger side who've got players missing, especially now with the manager that you've got, I think Nuno's quite happy to go, all right, let's play like we're the underdogs here. Yeah. And you'll probably squeeze it out because you've got, ultimately, you've still got a Harry Kane up front who only needs to have one or two like opportunities, really, if that.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, despite before that sort of weird 10-minute spell against the West Ham game, Palace hadn't scored this season. So we're still trying to work out, like, we're going to need a few chances. How many you're going to concede? Because I don't know how many we're going to create. But you'll find something. So don't. Yeah, you probably won't. You might not dominate possession in the way that you normally would. But I think a Nuno side, if they're listening to his methods, will be quite content with that.
What was Wolves' record at your ground like? I'm trying to remember.
They when they first come up, they beat us. And they beat us quite convincingly, not scoreline wise, but as in like just played us off the park. We beat them a couple of times though. That last season he had with them was such a fall off.
Well, it's because he's got Connor Cody at the back. That guy stinks.
That's why, this is why, you know, you're saying about Gay. I think Gay's in the England setup by the end of the summer. I'm not, because just the bar is way lower than we think. I know we had a good Euros, but do you remember what everyone was saying about England's centre backs before that tournament? It was just like,
yeah.
Connor Cody's in there. Like, no.
Like, the thing is,
like the Euros, England had a good run. Like, they people have to realize some tournament football. If you get a good run, you're laughing. You're absolutely going. You're definitely 100% going to the final. All you have to do is get past the little tricky hurdles, and you're in. Like, Italy would have prayed for England's run. They would have prayed for that run, but they didn't. They got all the like tough dogs, and they were like, "All right, cool. We're just gonna pump you up in the final, bro." That's what happened, bro. That's when Saka got pulled by his neck.
Yeah, and then he proceeded to let the country down, boy. Damn.
You said it.
Yeah, I said it. I said it.
Oh, that's getting clipped, isn't it?
there's such a like fine line between obviously like just what happened after that final was some fucking grim shit.
Yeah.
But then like just as a natural, I think about like, do you remember Beckham after 98? He was getting cooked every ground that season.
Yeah,
that was the season of his life. And I think I have not been as bothered seeing like a lot of, you know, I've seen clips online like this is a disgrace of United fans are supposed to say that Saka let his country down. Like that's, if you're playing Arsenal, like that's you're meant to make the other teams feel like
this. This is what I didn't get. Like, do you remember the first game of the season, Leeds away? They were like, Sancho and Rashford, you let your country down.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, yo, this, you see that Jay-Z meme where his head's above? I'm like, shit, this shit is knocking. Yeah, you let your country down. I'm like, yeah, this
is bumping. Leeds talking about two Man United players. And you think, I know that the friendly you had with Arsenal, he got a ovation when he come on or off Saka. But I know for a fact, if that was a league game, that weren't, you know.
I was at that game. I didn't clap him on because in my head, I was just thinking, why are we doing this? Why are we like, the racism is the racism. Put that to the side and condemn it. And we have condemned it. But let's talk about football. The fact of the matter is, he missed the penalty and England got dumped out of the final. Bruv. Like, pam him. And pam him, because that's football.
Yeah,
We've seen better players get torn apart.
Joe, what you need to realize is, here at the New Spurs Order, we have no fans. Yeah, we're not here for people to love us. We're here to take over. Yeah, and cause anarchy to the regime. So, Tom's didn't clap. I saw that on my. I Bluetoothed it to my TV. You know, little Chromecast. I booed him from the cover. Get off this field. I don't care for you, man. We don't support none of this. Yeah, we're not legacy fans. We are legitimately pure anarchy. If we come to your ground, we're going to absolutely mess up your ground and walk out. It doesn't matter what the result is. That's what the New Spurs Order is about. Legacy fans doing concerts when we're supposed to be rioting? Yeah, we're not them kind of people. Get out of here. Yeah, next time I see Saka, he's getting a straight boot. I might even throw it to his face. Yeah,
did we end up talking about Bukayo Saka, by the way?
Sometimes you got a whole free shot. Like, I know what you're trying to say, ain't started the season off great, but let's be honest, you know, how worse can it be? At least you're not bottom with 0-0 beside your goals and shots taken and all that kind of stuff. There's only one team in the whole league that's got that.
I'm convinced, by the way. I think we're playing them in early November, mid November on a Monday night at Selhurst. I think that's the last Arteta game.
No.
I think I'm
scared. You get shades of Sam Aladice and Wenger in that situation.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the best nights of my life. We beat Arsenal 3-0 at Selhurst on a Monday. It was the fucking funniest performance. You just see them broken. But yeah,
That'd be too poetic. Having Vieira, their club legend, have a
I love it. Mudded by his own team. Oh,
that'd be lovely, man. That'd be lovely.
Bruv.
What? And Sam Allardyce comes in. Oh, please, please. For the love of God, make it happen.
like, just focusing back on this game then, because obviously, Joe, you mentioned the midfield is key, but I'm just looking at this now, and we'll get back on Spurs in a second, but I'm just trying to think what the other key matchups are. Like, Wilf is now after, like, what feels like two and a half seasons. I think he's firmly back on left. He normally likes to operate left anyway, but I think, like, his role, yeah, you are playing, like, left wing. That's you now, yeah? Right. I'm a bit concerned by that. I'm a bit concerned by that because I feel like in a 1v1 standing situation, he can move to anyone that we have in that position. Maybe Tanganga can put a muzzle on him, yeah? But I'm a bit worried about him on that left-hand side. How's he been this season?
He's been a lot further out wide. The goals we have scored, he's been involved in both, not as the assist, but as the pre-assist, if you like. He's always involved. I think what I'm interested to see as players get fit and the season rolls out, Zaha is kind of at his best, at his most free, when there are other good players in the team. And I know that sounds so basic, but we got promoted to the Premier League because when he got his England call up and teams were triple marking him, which is not an exaggeration, Balazi was on the other side. And so we still caused problems. And so people realised pretty quickly you couldn't just all mark up on him. And it happened in the Premier League. It was Balazi again, and then it was for Townsend for a bit. But then by the end of the Hodgson year, the last 2-3 years, there just isn't that threat in those areas again. So he was just like, he would go completely missing for games. And it wasn't an attitude thing. It was just, well, if you stop him getting the ball, Palace are not going to be a menacing attack at all. Now, with people like Edouard coming in, Gallagher, who actually wants the ball, will carry it. At least they might be fit for this game. And I haven't seen him yet, but he's been brought in to be one of those type of players. That could be really interesting. So, weirdly, Saha's form is as dependent on who else is in the team this season as it is about what he can bring. So I don't think that's the secret, what he's got. He's not like, he hasn't declined or anything yet. Do you know what I mean? He's still that player that you know he could be if he wants to turn up and do a match.
Is he finally going to get...
I wanted Edouard at Spurs.
You wanted Edouard?
Yeah, I wanted him at Spurs. I think he's a decent backup option.
Basically Crystal Maze.
I was just about to ask this as well. Like, when is Zaha actually gonna get this long-awaited move away from Palace? He's handed in a gazillion transfer requests. Like,
and he did the day after the window shut. New agency announced. He does these 1-year deals where he goes to a new agent and says, like, get me a move. Show me what you're talking. Are you about that? And then a year passes, nothing happens. And then he does it, like, signs up with someone else. But his contract's up end of next season. So next summer, Palace will make a choice of going, right, we can get, I don't know, 20 million for him or something, take that money, or we just play him out to the end of the deal and he can, thank you very much, 10 years service, and then you're on your way. I think I think he's 28 or 29 now. So I think he's 30 when the deal ends.
Yeah,
I think when that contract's up, I think he'll just be one of those players that gets a decent move because it would all just be signing on fee. For me, I reckon his best option is to leave at the very end and just get and he'll not be a starter for any of the teams by then, I don't think. But that's the thing. He'll still get to those clubs, I think, because he'll still represent value. But it'd be one of those kind of, it's weird to say it for a 30-year-old winger, but it'd be like, you know, remember like when Gary McAllister went to Liverpool? It's just kind of like, there's this little enjoyable swan song at the back end of your career, but you always think, oh shit, what if that all happened a bit earlier? You know what I mean? Yeah.
McAllister had a good career, though. that's the actual difference. Zaha has been at Crystal Palace. No offense, Joe, but he's been there. He's been there for bread, bruv. Like, he's...
I point a finger at two clubs, yeah? And none of them are Crystal Palace. I point a finger at Arsenal for opting to go with Pepe on finance instead of going for Zaha. And Tottenham Hotspur.
Leave us alone.
2016...
He was out the door.
And he was there for about 25, 30 million.
Yeah.
And you went with Sissoko instead. And I know he was on experience and he'd just come off the Euros, but...
He had a shit Euros campaign. I hate when people say this Euros. He had one good game. One good game after a piss poor season at Newcastle. And we go and sign this guy for 30 million. I hit the roof. I hit the roof. I punched a hole. Not a hole, but I dented. Okay, I'm not that strong. I dented my family home wall that day, transfer window. Two windows in a row. Because I suffered one window with Sissoko on deadline day. Then the next window with Llorente. This club, they're trying to kill me, bro.
They're trying to kill me. I'm not letting that slide, yeah? One, you did mention that Pepe was on finance. You forget Sissoko was also on finance. I don't know why, but this was the fact, yeah? And two, Tobes, the family wall does not deserve to be dented, yeah? I hope that you pay for the plastering and the painting, yeah? Because that's bad attitude. You better run that back.
Bro, I was fuming, man. Fuming.
I think the Sissoko deal, the reason why the Sissoko deal hurt a lot of Spurs fans, and you're right, Joe, it's not just Zaha. That actual summer, yeah, it could have been Zaha. It could have been Zaha. It could have been Mane. I believe it was that same summer, was it? Or was it Gigi?
It was Ronaldo.
Because you got more friend Newcastle. Well,
that summer there was like three or four players, and I was like, if we get these two, then we can kick on. Blah blah blah. Because Zaha, he was kicking. It wasn't like the Zaha that he was going to be that season, but he was kicking. And I was like, oh, yeah, we could get him and, you know, he could be an option, blah, blah, blah. And we went with Sissoko. And that guy has given us nothing but memes since. Yeah, he is. I'm glad he's gone. I'm so happy Sissoko has gone. And I'm glad that the team he went to, he saw us beat him. Yeah, because that's what he deserves. He deserves nothing but defeats for the rest of his career. Because nobody can tell me why you can go one-on-one, two-on-one with Van Dijk and put it so far wide, yeah, that somebody in Everton got hit in their head with the ball. It's nonsense. It's bad attitude. Yeah, so I'm glad that he's gone. No offense, Joel, but I actually thought he was going to go Crystal Palace. Like, until Watford came in, I thought he was actually destined for Crystal Palace.
I was going to say, I think that move to Watford symbolises... It's really good business for you, and I'll tell you why. Is because what I've noticed, obviously, no one's got any cash. You've noticed that this window, people all try and do these loan to buyers and all these player swaps and like a little bit more than usual in that last window. And I think for you to get those wages off the wage bill and then get a fee as well, it didn't matter what the fee was. Yeah. You just take whatever anyone was willing to give. And because Watford took Sissoko because we bought Will Hughes off there.
That's another one as well. Is he going to start?
Yeah, they completely forgot about him until I mentioned him then. Might do. If he's fit, I think he will. He probably starts where Riedewald would have, in your head, played.
Hmm. Whatever happened to Johnny Williams? Johnny Esther?
Oh, bless him. He's the, like, I don't know if Tottenham had the equivalent. How Arsenal talk about Jack Wilshere? Johnny Williams was that for Palace.
I know some
Moldovan under 21 like snapped his ankle into a million pieces, and he's never the same player. You know what it is with ankles; they never quite. If they don't heal right, that's a problem for the rest of your career. So he's currently.
Isn't he in Championship
Town? He's currently at Swindon Town in League Two. Right,
League Two. I'm shocked he's still playing. You know,
Swindon Town's not too much of a drop off. I mean that in the nicest way possible. A bad injury at a young age, it's not like he landed at freaking Hereford, like,
yeah. And Swindon is the lowest level he's fallen to. Like, it's been mostly Championship, League One. He's gone there for I think he's gone there for money. I think they've had a big toe.
Yeah, I remember seeing him on the Sunderland dock because he was at Sunderland for a couple
of seasons. Went there for bank. I would have gone there myself, where they were paying for me, where
so, but yeah, so. Just like this game as well, then. I don't know about you lot, but I feel like Spurs are going to edge it, and I'm banking on Harry Kane breaking his duck this weekend. Is everyone else thinking the same, or do we think it's going to be another game of no goal for Harry Kane?
Yeah, I think the muck can score. You know, he's not earning his name with me
Well, you're never going to call him Kane again. Come on. This guy's going to plunder and go against Arsenal. Then y'all be.
That's how you earn my heart back, yeah? Because, look, the attitude he portrayed in the summer was bad attitude. I don't care what he was.
Terrible.
Yeah, absolutely stunk. You had a horrible Euros, and then you had the audacity to think, after you'd done freaking 10 dossier interviews with Gary Neville and the rest of Sky Sports to try and get you out of Spurs to go to Man City and get carried to trophies for the rest of your career. Now, ban that. Your name will remain Mook until you provide us with silverware. When I see him raise his armpits and there's silverware above his head, that's when he'll be renamed Harold Harry Kane. Yeah. Until then, he's Mook Mookie. Yeah, that's who he is right now. Yeah. I'm done with him. So yeah, he probably could get a goal.
I hope he's shameless and like kisses the badge and everything.
Because Joe, last season he bagged three against you, including that ridiculous goal from outside the box. He scored one that Guaita should have saved away, and then he scored two. I think he scored two in the was it two?
You batted us.
Two in the 4-1 victory, the one where he put top bins.
Yeah, that was a ridiculous goal. Ridiculous goal, man. I think he's going to score. I don't know if Son's going to play, though. I think he should.
I think
minor calf injury, yeah.
Does Kane do a 90 yet?
I think he will.
No.
Kane did a 90 against Watford.
Did he do a 90 against Watford?
I think he played 90 against Poland. Obviously, that's not for us, but he's match fit.
So Poland, yeah, he played 90. He only played like 20 minutes against the team that we played midweek. Is it Andorra? And then he played like 70 or 80 minutes against Hungary as well.
Did he actually play 90 against Watford? I could have sworn he got taken off.
I think he got taken off late on.
Yeah, he got taken off. Yeah,
I think he got taken off late on. But anyway, yeah, I think he will bang. But Tops been a bit quiet, mate. I want us to talk yeah. Tongi. Talk to me about Tongi.
I don't know, man. Like, to be honest with you, everything that I feel about this guy is all coming to fruition, and I really hope like he gets some game time this weekend. I'm just gonna keep banging on the door about the style of play that we're currently sort of playing under Nuno requires us to have ball carriers, progressive players, in order for it to actually work or actually look fairly positive and not rely on this low possession, low XG, counter-attack, transition football. With Lachelso obviously being out, Dele just being Dele, Højbjerg playing, Skipnab being injured, it's probably going to be Winks in there. But again, we just need someone to, one, carry the ball, two, to try and break the lines, progress play, just to sort of bridge that gap between the midfield and the attack. But I don't know, for all intents and purposes, we don't really know where his head's at. He's not the sort of person who comes out with things on social media that much. We do know that he's training. Like, he's never not been at training. He's always been at training. He's always involved. So it's not as if he isn't ready to play. It's just whether he's given the opportunity to. Personally, I want him to play this weekend, but I don't think he will. I think he'll be on the bench. I think he'll play against Rennes in the week, I'd say.
No, he'll come on early second half, I think, when we are probably struggling to create in midfield.
Because
you look at him and you're like, fine, you're not going anywhere. And like, the way I look at it is that, like, if you're a coach and you're coaching your players, you're watching them week in, week out, day in, day out on the training pitch, and there's someone who is clearly levels above a lot of the midfielders, it's actually like ludicrous to have that player of that quality to your disposal and not actually use them. So there's no way Nuno can actually look at it now and say, okay, fine, now that the transfer window's closed, we can wait until January, whatever. But the player that's here is clearly a player that I can use, and I can obviously try and get the best out of between now and when the next transfer window is. So for him to continue down this path and continue to players and trust players that are not in Ndombele, like,
I mean, it will completely baffle me, because this is the sort of player that we know has amazing amount of talent, hasn't played any football this season. Like, I don't think people understand. It's crazy. Like, he has had no minutes in the football season so far. None. No preseason. Nothing. Like, this is our record signing.
Was that a deliberate thing to freeze him out?
Yeah, I don't think he wanted to freeze him out. I think it's more a case of he didn't want to be at the club. Like, he actively told the club he wanted to leave. So the manager's not gonna put in a player who's wanting to leave.
I think with a plan and stuff. What's the point of doing a new thing with someone that's itching to leave? Okay. Yeah. I was wondering, because I knew obviously I knew with the previous manager it was a bit of a weird relationship together, but I had no idea what was kind of still stopping it happening now.
And then got done dirty. So basically, the reason why he wanted to leave, yeah, whether people want to admit it or not, it's because cup final came around. He's sitting there thinking, yeah, you're going to have to play me regardless because I'm baller. Yeah. Team sheet came out. Winks is starting. He said, nah, I'm gone. He called Levy immediately. He said, I'm not here for this. Winks is starting ahead of me. I don't blame him. I'd leave the club too. I'd probably fry a diss track. You mean to tell me Winks is starting ahead of Ndombele? It's disgusting attitude. Yeah.
That one was crazy.
Look, this weekend coming, yeah, if Winks starts again ahead of Ndombele, it's done. I don't want to come on this podcast again and say, when is Ndombele playing? He's never starting again, because he's like, I'm done. And I can understand it. Why would you be a baller and be sitting there thinking, why is Ali and freaking Winks starting ahead of him? Are you serious? You might want to be winning games and you're doing just bare kilometers for fun. Stop that. And you know he's dyed his hair blonde, so you know what time it is. Yeah, he's been watching Goku,
Vegeta. Yeah, I'm with Sai in the comments as well. I don't think Nuno has handled the situation inappropriately. I think he's handled it very well. It's not easy to have like 2-3 players who want to leave your club, two, three important players as well. And I think he's managed the situation well. Like, he's not spoken bad about him. He's not called him a bad player. He's not even attacked his attitude. He simply said, I'm only interested in playing players that want to be at the club. And he's right. Like, his duty is to the club. It's not to Ndom. But to Topps's point earlier on, the window's closed now. I'm happy he stayed because I didn't want the club to sell him. Now he has to play and he needs to roll his socks up and deliver. Like, we play 3 games in a week. Yeah, Palace. I know, Joe, you've made your points on some of the indifferences in how you play, the imbalance with Mitchell, et cetera, the midfield. But we never have it easy at Palace. No matter what team you put out, we never have it easy at Palace. We've only scored, I'll keep repeating this as well, in the last, 5 or 6 games we've played at your ground, we've only scored more than one goal, like, once. If we win, it's 1-0. Otherwise, we don't win. We either draw 1-1 or we draw 0-0. Like, it's always a cagey, hard fought 3 points. Yeah, so for me, a game like this, yeah, in Dom, he's got to play. Like, even if you don't want to start him, fair enough, I need to see him feature, because that small pitch and the type of this, just the London derby as well, we want the best players playing. Give us the best opportunity to win the game. He's available now. The window's closed. Let's reintegrate this guy into the team. And then Dom, pull your socks up and fucking get to playing, man.
I think Ndom gets. Like, I was in the camp of like, nah, you know, he's got a bad attitude and all that kind of stuff. But I've left that camp now. I left that camp. There wasn't enough people, you know, singing at the reef. So I've left that camp and I've gone to the camp of, nah, he's got a good attitude. He just doesn't want to be playing with dry ballers. I'm at that camp now and it's popping over here. Torps.
The thing is, though, you see, is that like, what gets me is that like, Joe, like, you wouldn't know this, right? But in under Spurs fans, there's like 2 camps, all right? There's guys who look at Ndom and they see a player that is unbelievably talented. And then there's other guys who think, because of the things that they've read in the media, from what's coming out from behind the scenes, that this is a guy who doesn't want to be a Tottenham, i.e. he must have a bad attitude, i.e. he doesn't want to play for the club. What gets me is that they're completely dumbfounded at the fact that the players that they want to do the job that Ndom can do simply cannot do it. Ali can no longer do the things that we require him to do at 10. Lo Celso hasn't been able to do the things that we've asked him to do in that creative position. We have a player of Ndombele's quality. And what gets me and what sickens me is that when he plays, even just 20 minutes, half an hour, a half, his quality will be clear than everyone else that's played in the positions in the team. And they will come back with their tails between their legs, talking smack. And we will say to them from the new Spurs order, back off. We don't want you coming over. We know where you stand. We know where we stand. You follow what you follow and let us do the talking, because we know where the quality lies. You didn't see the quality, but now you will see the quality. Winks, move. Lo Celso, move. Ali, move. The rest of them, all of them, man, can skate. Because once this guy gets playing and he's fit, that's all we're going to say on it. The new Spurs, we know what we're about. We know what we're about. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, Tops. Bars.
Hey, this is my gripe.
Go on.
My thing is, I don't know why. I know the whole leak came out about Ndombele not playing instead of Sir Winks in the final and stuff. But as of this season, why are people talking about like Winks and Ndombele starting over each other when they're playing different roles in the team? All banter and scapegoating aside, if both of these players were fully match fit, they'd actually be perfect starting in the midfield together.
Impossible. Don't do that.
I said what I said. Winks at the base, Hubie just ahead, and then Ndombele furthest forward would be perfect.
Impossible.
But...
oh, my chest.
Yeah.
Let that midfield cook. What are they cooking? Pot noodle?
Oh, it's not happening. Owen, no.
A very spicy one, brother.
It will be a spicy one.
Pot noodles are underrated in those Winks, but anyway.
They used to be like 10 years ago. Yeah. But anyway, you know what?
We see the super noodles three. When Ndombele does come on. But yeah, no, sorry, midfield three.
Go on then. Yes.
I was only going to say that Ndombele, like a load of people are going to turn around and say, no, Ndombele's still not going to make it in the squad. Like, obviously he is. Like, Skip's a doubt. Lo Celso's doing prison time. Like, of course he's going to make it in the squad. And like everyone knows, all of our games at Selhurst are tight affairs. I think it's going to be cagey until quite deep in the second half. I think Delhi will start. And we're not going to be able to break them down. They're not going to be able to break us down. Blah, blah, blah. And then Ndombele will come on then and hopefully change the game. And show off his new Super Saiyan hat.
I think Ash's point is really good as well. Like, it's reintegration time for Tongi, and I think Nuno will. I feel like Nuno will give him a fair chance now that the window is closed. He's not going anywhere. We'll give him a fair chance to earn his spot in this team, but he has to earn that spot. Yeah, he has to earn that spot. He's got to do it for himself. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, I remember Paul Pogba last season, he's had a really poor start to the season. Very, very poor start to the season. Got injured. And then he basically made himself undroppable when he came back from around mid-December onwards. Like, in Dom, I'm not saying that he's as good as Paul Pogba, but he has way more talent than any midfielder in our team. Like, if you play to your best ability, like, there's no one in the midfield that can touch you. Nobody. So at this point now, you need to fucking deliver, bro. Just need to deliver, man. I'm sick to death of debating about this guy. Just play and deliver.
I say start him and take him off at 65 minutes, which Sai has obviously just said in the comments. That's what I'd say. Start him, because I don't want none of this whole why is Wink starting ahead of me. And I know what Owen said about them playing in two different positions. Listen, Winks, yeah, is not allowed to play football. Yeah, he can only play on the PlayStation. Shouldn't be on the grass field kicking ball for my club. Hey, Joe, talk to your club so that they can come take him off our hands, man, because I've had enough.
Those days are over. We're only signing 21-year-olds these days.
So, Joe, would you take Harry Winks if he was available?
I'd listen, but honestly, you're not really doing a good job of selling him, you know what I mean? So the world's worst salesman.
To be fair, Winks attracted more interest in the summer than Ndombele.
Yeah, because he's cheap. He's going to end up
English tax is English tax, but
he's going to end up
in Sweden. Alas, he attracted more interest.
Winks' career is going to be similar to Tom Carroll's, which is no disrespect to Tom Carroll, but it's just what it is. What it is, you know. I think
Winks is better than Tom Carroll. Look, come on, stop. Winks is better than Tom Carroll.
Winks is better than Tom Carroll. Come on.
Winks can play for a Premier League club. Like, when I'm confident that when Winks leaves, he'll probably. Winks was caught by Pep. Come on, Sai. Come on, Owen. Really, Fred was caught by Pep.
Did I put that comment up?
What does that mean? Okay. But anyway,
Winks. There's always going to be a lower half Premier League club that will take a punt.
100%,
and they'll get relegated.
People always, they always fall. Players like that, players from sort of top 6-7 clubs that come through and exciting for a little bit, only has to be a little bit. They don't drop dramatically. They fall down very slowly until before they know it, they're like in the mid-table championship. So that could be one of those players, by the way, you're talking about. But it will be a slow decline.
Winks will go Burnley and go down to League One within 3 seasons. Comfy.
Burnley signed a foreign player for the first time in like 6 years.
Yeah, Cornet.
Their entire history, bro.
Yeah.
Apparently, Daesh didn't Google him, so he didn't know what he looks like. They're ready to sell him already. Right. They're not used to that.
Should we move on to predictions then? We may as well move on to predictions.
Indeed.
I'm going for a narrow 1-0. I think Harry Kane's going to score the winner. I think our defense is going to be put under pressure in the second half. I'm hoping it doesn't crumble. I'm going to go for 1-0, but I genuinely wouldn't be surprised if this game ended 1-1. My prediction.
I would say we edge it 1-0, in the same sense that, it's going to be a cagey game. I'd be very surprised if our right side of defence doesn't get absolutely peppered. For that reason, I think Nuno may even go free at the back and start Emerson Royale as well, and then have Tanganga as that right centre-back to help cover and shuttle Zaha. If we clamp him, we clamp them. It's as simple as that, in my opinion. So, in that sense, I think we'll nick it late on after Ndombele comes on for his Super Saiyan cameo. Either him or Kane getting the winner.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. Joe?
I think Palace will score. I think Benteke starting, even against Tanganga, is going to be enough of a nuisance value that it will create a chance for someone else, if not him. But you're going to score as well, so I'm probably gonna. If I'm being pessimist, I'm saying 2-1 Spurs. If I'm optimistic, it's more like a 1-1 or a 2-1 Palace. But let's play it safe. Let's play 1-1. Let's stick to that again.
Did we all say who we'd paired Eric with Eric Dier at centre back?
It's more than likely going to be Tanganga, which none of us liked.
I would if Emerson was ready to play, I would put Tanganga centre back and put Emerson right back. But I think he's going to keep Tanganga right back and play Joe Rodon or switch the formation, I reckon. That's the way I see it.
I think it's going to be a tight game. Palace recently has always been kind of tight. It's just about trying to break them down. I'm going 1-0 Kane in the second half.
Wow, it's a lot of 1-0s. It's going to be a tight game, Paul. But I think this is, just like Joe said, I think this is the game that we actually concede our first goal of the season, which means it's either going to be a 1-1 draw or 2-1 Spurs victory. Kane doesn't score. Son scores, gets injured. Ali scores the winner.
Ali to score, please. I would love that, man. I need him. If you're not going to create, at least get back into goal-scoring form. Like, we miss that goal-scorer in Ali, man. So if he's going to play, please score.
I'm only saying Ali to score because, for the love of God, what else has he done apart from running this season? So he needs to start getting some FPL points because I know a couple might have him in their team.
Joe, you want Ali? Do you want Ali as well?
We've got Eze.
If man is saying we've got
Eze, he answered that much quicker than the Winks question, by the way.
Eze got called up for the Euros or that large squad in May injured, and Ali was nowhere near it.
That's because Ali was in Dubai.
Yeah.
In Fortnite.
That's very sad. But something else to consider on Saturday, by the way, which I always forget until I turn up to those games. It's a 12:30 on a Saturday. Do you know how dry every 12:30 is for the first half? It's going to be a terrible game until second half. It's just like, I don't know if it's a psychological thing or what. They never start.
Well, the international break.
Do you remember there was one? So we played you at 12:30 years back. I remember because I was running late to the game and there were these two Palace fans in the cab and they were snorting white at 12 midday. I mean, 12:30, they were snorting white. I couldn't believe it. That's late.
I've seen earlier.
This, bro.
Away days, I've seen earlier.
I'm like, bro, we got a game to, because we're all late for the game. And then we're like, we're heading to the stadium, getting the cab. Do you want to jump in with us? So I jumped in. I'm in the front seat, and at the back, all I'm hearing is
you're joint enterprise now. Like.
Wow! So you were there while I was sniffing the yam. That is long, bro. You should have jumped out of the cab and walked it, bro. You could have been arrested.
Nah, man. You could have been. But hopefully we win. Where do you sit before we end, Joe? Where do you sit? Where's your seat at?
So the TV cameras. They're opposite the dugouts, so you can see I'm halfway between the dugouts and the Homesdale end, but on that stand opposite the cameras.
Is that the hooligan side?
No, I'm in the old man side. So I'm looking to move there finally now because we're waiting on the stadium. We've had this stadium expansion. Funny enough, Spurs again. Do you remember when you made a pitch for the Olympic Stadium? This is like.
Yeah.
Part of that to do with some lottery. There needs to be an Olympic legacy. Tottenham went, okay, we'll take over the Olympic Stadium and Crystal Palace Park. There's a national track where they do athletics. We're gonna develop that and pay for that so that that's an athletics track. And Palace were like, no, we wanted to turn that into our new ground. And so you fucked that for us for a bit. So we still haven't had expanded us. In the end, we decided to go with. Making sellers bigger, and we still haven't done it because,
yeah, what are you waiting for though? Because, like, when you look at it now, Leicester expanding their stadium, redeveloping it, Everton are moving to a brand new stadium.
So, anyway, to really kind of make extra money without it affecting fair play. The only thing that's holding us back is we got a supermarket in our stadium, isn't it?
this fucking Sainsbury's,
So we, in order to expand, we need to essentially buy that back off them. And they're like charging us. Basically, they've called our bluff and go, oh, right. You want to buy the car park area, 30 mil. And it's like, well, no, that car park clearly worth like a couple mil tops. And they're
have they seen that shithole of an area?
Wait, you're being held to
work. That's not worth 10 grand.
Yeah, Sainsbury's are like, buy the car park. And you said, do what you want, but they're doing a Zaha on us. They take the taste of our medicine. This is what it's worth to us. So are you going to pay it or not?
Wait. Nah, I mean, this I can't believe what I've just heard. By the way, I didn't realize it was a 12:30 kickoff. So I hope that Spurs, by the time like it gets to halftime, we're 4-0 up. But that's for another day. I can't believe that you've got freaking Sainsbury's in the middle of your stadium. That's how you know I haven't been to that stadium for a time,
bro.
I'm definitely going there. What, cheap meals? I'm laughing. Hey, lads, let's go. I'll buy everybody a meal at halftime.
Okay. It's like, it's not even like a good thing. It's like a dummy run down Sainsbury's too.
it got built basically in order to like finance signings. We like sold half of a stand to Sainsbury's. It's tiny, but because it's terrace, they're just like, yeah, no, all right, you want us to leave? Pay us all the money in the world, and now look at us.
These men took half your stand, and they're not even stocking up shelves. It's bad attitude.
Yeah, terrible. that's the difference in levels here. You know, you know, don't ever complain about the.
Come to our stadium. You know, you're cool people. You know, you can come down to our stadium. We'll charge you £60. Toby will tell you about that because that's.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have. You haven't actually been to the new stadium yet, have you? Because it's been COVID, right?
The first one,
the 2-0. Yeah, 2-0,
I think it was.
Honestly,
like, because it's funny, because everything around the stadium hasn't changed. It just looks like
still sick.
Into Tottenham. Like, it's weird. But a very. Yeah. I judge stadiums on when you come out of the gate block area up the stairs into the main bit, that kind of reaction as to what you see. And only Old Trafford's ever come close to that. Like that stepping out and going, fucking hell. Like, all right. That big opposite, that stand opposite the away end, the one that's like a cop.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. That looks like
when I go to games, that's where I'm plotted.
Yeah.
A few hooligans. That all we do is elbow each other when we score. Yeah.
Volumes. I prefer the, it's still a pain in the ass to get there and back if you're in, like, you know, White Hart Lane tube station is just the write off of all that long walk to
down to Seven Sisters.
Yeah.
Never go to White Hart Lane. That's, come on, man. Come on, Joel. Don't do this to yourself. Yeah. Walk it down, you know, absorb all the, you know, beatings that your team has taken for the day. Just hear the abuse. Yeah. Walk it down, enjoy it. And then, you know, get to Seven Sisters. You know, because Crystal Palace is far from North London, boy. You have to. Wow. That's too
wireless. Wireless this weekend as well, round the corner. Bruv, I wanted to do a 2-for-2, but I'm struggling to get tickets, man.
That's impossible.
Bruv. Okay, well, Joe, thank you for coming, man, and blessing us with your presence. It's been good chatting to you, man. Good luck for the season. I can't say I'm expecting Palace to pull up any trees, but I am excited with what you've done on a limited budget this summer as well. So let's see what Vieira can do. Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to finish 14th, have fun with it. Do you know what I mean? That's how I look at it. That's how we all look at it.
That's the Spurs DNA.
Owen, any last words for you, Tops? Yeah.
I can't wait to see the Winks from Entada, and I'll be doing what the hooligans do. I'll be tempted. And it ain't Pepsi. Word to Drake.
Honestly, I think it's going to be a sad day in Owen's house when Harry Winks eventually gets shipped off by this club, because you have this bondage to Winks that I just don't get. Like, unprovoked, Owen will be like, oh, if only we had a certain midfielder who could play on the half turn. I'm like, it's like, I'm like, bro, we weren't even talking. Yo, I respect it, man. I respect it. I actually do. You're loyal to the sport.
Nah, man. I just hope we win this weekend, because no offense, Joe, bro. Your team needs to hold more than one goal.
You're supposed to think that. I get it. Don't worry. It's weird, made the best team win.
We've only scored like one goal in each of our like league games. Like, I'm sorry, but your team needs to be the one that holds that 5-6, that ugly switching off the TV at 45 minutes kind of being. But it's Selhurst Park. It's freaking Spurs. Oh my God, it's gonna be ugly. It's gonna be ugly.
It is gonna be ugly.
All right, well, folks, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Normal sort of housekeeping. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, Touchdown Frack YouTube channel. Make sure you're subscribed or you're following us on Twitter and on Instagram, Spurs_touchline or touchline fracker. Yeah, we'll be back next week and we might even be around this weekend. Are any of you lot around for a Discord?
Yeah, a nice early
Saturday morning Discord. So if you're a part of the Touchline Fracker Discord, come join us at 12:30. You're either going to hear a lot of positive screams or flipping negative moans. Let's see what happens. But until then, take care, peace out, and see you next week.
Come on, you Spurs.
On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. A great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier!
Sports Social Podcast Network.